Wednesday morning broadcast, still in our Sphere of format. That'll wrap up on, next week, the early part of next week. Tuesday, of course, will be the return to our regular format on Lagba Omer. Join us for the big music celebration. That's what it's going to be, as many of us are looking forward to getting back to our regular format. Dr. Jordy Alter is with us. He's president of the Israel Association of Baseball, and this coming Monday night, those of you who are into this, and I said earlier, nobody's more into it than I am, those of you who are into it, a special movie screening entitled Israel Swings for Gold, the story of the Israel national baseball team at the Tokyo Olympics. Again, this event Monday night is free. It's open to the public. Happens at 7 p.m. up at First Hall on West 185th Street in Washington Heights. Again, that's up at Yeshiva University, and it gives us an opportunity to celebrate Israel baseball and, frankly, Israel and Judaism in general. Dr. Jordy Alter, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM and the AM.
Nahum, thank you so much. It's great to be here, as always. Thank you.
I don't think we've spoken since the wedding. It was so amazing having you participate in the big celebration.
It was such a special schus to be there with you and your family. It was really such a beautiful, beautiful simcha. I appreciate the fact that you made it right in my own backyard. Erev Pesach, it was fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of people were happy with the location. I think the Chassan wants to trade a game-worn kittel for a game-worn uniform. What do you think?
I think we can make that happen. He can keep the kittel. Maybe we'll work on the unit.
Well, Jordy, I don't have to tell you what I think of the Israel national baseball team, and the truth is any team, obviously, that represents the state of Israel, as we've discussed so many times on this show, is really representing the Jewish people as a whole. This team, though, you know this firsthand. You're part of the reason, frankly. This team has taken that mission so seriously. And I was wondering, after the incredible documentary that was done a couple of years back about Team Israel, which featured so many wonderful nuances about being representatives of the Jewish people and understanding their role when they are in that capacity as compared to just being, you know, average, regular, everyday Jews. I was wondering what this film, this new one, Israel Swings for Gold, can do to add to all of that. Like, I would think all those angles were covered. Then I saw the trailer, and I can't believe I didn't ask for an advanced copy. But then I saw the trailer, and I said, wow, there's so many wonderful, incredible stories in this gigantic story about Israel going to the Tokyo Olympics. It's obvious that this is going to be yet another amazing movie. Have you seen this entire production yet?
Many times, many, many, many times. And every time I see it, I see something different, something new. And this just takes the original film heading home to just a different level, because it deals with the Olympics, but more importantly, it deals with this group of guys,
right?
A team battling together against other forces that are not obvious in a normal baseball setting, that we have to deal with as we prepare for the Olympics and as we experience the Olympics. And mainly there's a lot of anti-Semitism that we come up against and have to deal with, and things that were just not very obvious, even at the time as we were living it, as I was together with them this period of time of 2 weeks prior to the Olympics and then 2 weeks of the Olympics itself. It wasn't so obvious to me until after I saw the film. The very interesting thing about this film is that because it was the COVID Olympics,
right,
in 2020, which really took place in 2021,
right,
there was nobody allowed in the Olympic Village.
Right.
There were no cameras allowed in the Olympic Village.
Nobody in the stands. There's nobody in the stands.
The stands are completely empty. But so the question is, how do you film such a thing?
Right.
You know, we spent 2 weeks before doing a barnstorming tour, which I know you were, you know, at some point I think you were part of at,
right,
the beginning, or I don't remember exactly, but we were, you know, we were in Rockland County, we were in Baltimore,
right,
we were all over the East Coast.
Right.
And the only way we got the captured footage in the village was we actually bought cameras and gave them out to the athletes themselves, and they themselves shot this movie. And that's what's so unique about it.
Well, I got to say something about modern technology. Just based on the trailer, if they shot the movie, it came out pretty good. It's pretty amazing, frankly.
Yeah.
I don't want to harp on this, but I'm just curious. Did you also have that fear? Maybe that's too strong of a word, but that fear that after Heading Home, the brilliant original documentary, there may not be enough Homer, there may not be enough material for this one, or that never really crossed your mind?
The answer is yes. I mean, the reason why we actually started the process together with the producers and we signed, you know, we did something, you know, preliminarily, we discussed this with them, is because we thought, hey, we win a couple of games and we get into a gold medal game or a silver medal, you know, or a bronze medal game, it'll be relevant. People will be very interested
right.
to see a team from Israel bring home a medal. When the Olympics was over and we finished in fifth place and we did win a game against Mexico,
right.
I figured, all right, there's no real story here. It's never going to be very interesting and nobody's going to really be interested in seeing a team, you know, team finish fifth in the Olympics. But, you know, about 6 months after, the producers called us and they said, you know, we want you to see what we put together. And I was floored.
I mean, look, we've spoken to Jeremy Neuberger before on the air, and his projects are amazing. And yeah, I mean, I know everyone's waiting for it, but here it is. They hit a home run with this one. Dr. Jordy Alter is with us, president of the Israel Association of Baseball. Israel Swings for Gold. The screening, the movie, is open to the public up at YU, Yeshiva University up in Washington Heights. It's coming Monday night, beginning at 7 p.m. I'm highly recommending watching the trailer. It'll just get you all excited. Excited about the movie that's coming up, and you'll have an opportunity to see it up there. Plus, there'll be a panel discussion. Dr. Alter, Jordy, our good friend, is going to be part of it. Plus, Eric Holtz, the former head coach of Israeli baseball, Mitch Glasser, the Israeli national baseball team MVP, and the aforementioned Jeremy Neuberger, the producer, will all be part of the panel discussion Monday night once you've watched the film. Now, again, a lot of nuances, a lot of little things, plenty to discuss, but there's two things that just stand out, maybe unfairly. You know, it may cover up some of the other, smaller details, but, you know, what I consider to be important details. But as you said, it is impossible to ignore the anti-Semitism that was going on at that Olympics. And generally speaking, at least based on the trailer and my memory, generally speaking, it was when the team was out and about and it was obvious they were representing Israel, they came across plenty of people who expressed their hatred for Israel, their love for the enemies of Israel, et cetera, et cetera. I can only imagine, you know, people like us with a certain background and a certain expectation might be ready, you know, to deal with all that as we walk down the street. But some of these athletes that are on, you know, the Israeli baseball team, I would assume, you know, never, ever were tossed into the fray of international politics and hatred. Was it a frightening experience for them?
So I don't think it was a frightening experience because in the Olympic Village itself, there's nothing frightening there. It's all very, very cozy, very safe cocoon, especially in Japan. I think it was shocking to them on some levels. I mean, we experienced a bunch of anti-Semitism even before the Olympics, and I think that was more frightening, the police presence that we had at all the stadiums and, you know, all that kind of, you know, the bomb-searching dogs before each game. I think that was more of an eye-opener for them. But many of these guys, most of them have already, you know, were involved with the team in 2017, have visited Israel in Heading Home, the previous film. They've been exposed to this before on some level, and we've discussed it as a team many, many, many times.
But part of their
education.
No, right, but the difference might be that in this case, there were people from other parts of the world, so to speak. It's not like they're going to New York and, you know, they're facing protests
right.
by those who are, you know, pro-Palestinian. Here it's, you know, here they're being made to feel very, very uncomfortable by people who are from that region. And that must be something they weren't used to.
I think it's shocking to see it in sports. I think that sports generally is a safe haven.
Right.
It's supposed to be a safe haven from this stuff. And, you know, and I think when you see it with other athletes, you know, who are so trained in, you know, in this, you know, this hatred, and they don't have the mind to think for themselves. They don't have any idea what they're talking about. I think that is shocking.
Yeah,
you know, I think
that.
That's disappointing.
And then the history with the Olympic Village. Obviously, it's not the same Olympic Village as in, you know, Germany. I get it. But I'm sure they became, if they were not yet, very familiar with the story of the Israeli Olympic athletes who ended up being murdered, killed in Munich back in 1972. I know for people our age, as you describe in the film, you know, it's impossible to go into an Olympic Village and not think of that horrifying, you know, international episode that ended the way it did. Were they up to speed on the history, and did they realize that, yeah, this stuff is going to seep into sports, and we know it because it's already happened?
Oh yes, and it became a huge part of this Olympics, and I won't ruin, you know, the parts, some of the highlights. Right. But that's a big, big part of the movie itself, how this current Olympic, you know, the one in 2021, dealt with it, and how it affected our athletes. It was very, very, it's very, very moving, very, very poignant part of the film, for sure.
I can only imagine. Listen, you know what I think about all the, you know, little details and how much of an international impact these things have. One of the most touching moments in the trailer, and again, I haven't seen the full film yet, but one of the most touching moments in the trailer is when the entire team is, you know, is toasting, and the entire team, or at least those gathered, are saying a bracha over the wine. And, yeah. And look, you get it. You get, you know, what kind of impact that has on people, when that happens and things like that, you know, permeate, into the, activities of the Israeli baseball team. I mean, I would assume, again, you know, just from seeing the trailer, it looks like there's plenty of those types of moments in this documentary. Am I right? Is there a lot of heartwarming stuff?
There's a lot of that stuff in this particular film that I think the audience will really connect with, in a great way. And I think what's really, really exciting about it is, don't forget, again, this was shot from the player's perspective.
Right.
So this was their perspective of what was important to them. It wasn't just some, you know, a producer telling a cameraman, this is, you know, shoot this, shoot that. This is the player's perspective, and that makes it even more exciting. You know, that the players who are not necessarily religious, or, you know, their connection to Judaism as children might not be so, you know, so much as your audience is.
Right.
But when it came to what was important to them in the Olympics, this was important to them.
Yeah. Look, I think I've discussed with you, you know, I've heard very pious Jews discuss the impact that Sandy Koufax had on the American Jewish community. And frankly, I think this group of athletes is doing the same thing. Maybe not the same level, maybe not the exact same type of publicity, but you get it. You know, they're doing the same thing. They're exhibiting Jewish pride and describing how, even though Jewish ritual may not be the first thing on their list every day like it is for us, it's important to them. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Which is amazing.
It's a part of them. It's a part of them, and to many of them, it wasn't a part of them until they found this team, or until we found them.
Right.
And they've become part of I would say brotherhood. That's a wrong word to use, but, you know, part of something that's more powerful, something that's important to them on a different level that they never would have had if they hadn't become part of our group, our organization.
And no question about it. How different is the team today in May of 2023? Is it completely overhauled? Is it very different than the team that we saw just a few weeks ago at the World Baseball Classic?
Which team are you referring to?
Well, oh, that's right. It's different teams, right?
Yeah.
I always forget that. I'm always thinking it's the same players that are always representing Israel on the international stage.
It's very confusing for everybody. This was a group, a significant number of these players were players that were in 2017,
right?
You know, in the World Baseball Classic with us, and have since retired from baseball.
Right.
The group that just was in the past WBC were primarily all professional players that are currently playing in MLB teams or high level.
Right.
But there are players that crossed over both. That, you know, there are players that played both in the Olympics and in the World Baseball Classic.
So if there was an Olympic team today, would it be very different? I mean, are there a lot of young players coming up? Are you doing a lot of...
It's a very interesting question because, you know, it really depends on the details of the Olympics. So the Olympics in 2021, as you remember, were in Japan,
right,
during the Major League Baseball season. So there were no Major League Baseball players at all.
Right.
There were previous, you know, past, you know, retired players that were in minor league teams. because of COVID, also they were available. The next time baseball is in the Olympics is 2028. It'll be in California. We hope. It's not even approved yet. But assuming there is Olympics in there is baseball in the Olympics in 2028, there is a reasonable chance that Major League Baseball will work it into their season.
Right.
Because it would be really a bouchard to have Olympics in America without the best American players playing. So, you know, we're actually in discussions with Major League Baseball about that. And, you know, we're hoping that they will, you know, open it up, you know, stop the season for a week and actually have the Olympics as part of the season.
Yeah, and that, I mean, one of the bigger issues for them is they're always concerned about, you know, athletes getting injured, as happened, by the way, in the World Baseball Classic. I mean, there's a New York athlete who's missing the entire season because of the World Baseball Classic.
But I guess athletes get injured during spring training as well.
Right. Yeah, I hear that. I get the whole thing. And other leagues, I mean, at least I know of the NHL, maybe there are other ones as well, have actually stopped their season in order to accommodate Olympic competition. So obviously the Olympics are still important on some level, even to those who are making exorbitant amounts of money, both in management and as players on the field. Any idea what's going to happen Monday night? Are you expecting a big crowd? Is there a buzz about this? What's going on with the screening?
So it's very interesting. This is being done in Israel Baseball together with Yeshiva University, together with the Philos organization. Philos organization is a Christian Zionist organization that Yeshiva has some relationship with, that Israel Baseball has a very close relationship with, and we're sponsoring it together with them. So there's actually outreach not just to the Jewish community, but to the Latino community in Washington Heights.
Huh.
The Dominican team has a significant part of this in this movie, and it's something that I think will really resonate well with them and hopefully help to bring communities together, and that's sort of what my goal is in this particular event, is to actually bring the Latino community into Yeshiva University and to show them, you know, this film. So that I think could be potentially very, very exciting.
Well, we're al hamapa, huh? It's amazing.
Yeah.
this dream that you and a small group of people had years ago, look what it's become. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I got to tell you just very, very quickly.
Sure.
I just came home yesterday from Germany with an under 18 team that won the European Pony Championship on Monday. We beat the German team, so we are now that age level, the 18-year-olds are the European representative to the Pony World Series in Texas this summer.
What does that mean, Pony World Series? What's Pony?
So Pony is an organization that was developed 30 or 40 years ago. It's baseball related, and it's like Little League on many, many levels. The idea is to create these baseball tournaments. You know, it started in the U.S. for the most part. They've spread out to, you know, all over the world. And, you know, where Little League sort of, you know, ends at age 12, Pony sort of picks up. So there's under 14, under 16, under 18 World Series that they have, and every year they have these events. The U18 is in Texas, and it brings 10 teams together from all over the world. So Israel will be the representative from Europe, even though we're not in Europe. That's another question.
That's a good point. Well, yeah. So is this, was it, were they expected? Were they big underdogs? Like, how significant is this victory?
Very significant for us. We've been participating in Europe in pony tournaments for many, many years in different levels. You know, we're always relatively, you know, fairly competitive.
Right.
But for us to win the tournament was a significant event for us.
And it's a good sign. It's showing that our athletes are you know, are even better than the prior ones, you know.
Like, yes, and this is exclusively made up of Israeli kids who live in Israel, playing baseball in Israel. You know, some of them are, you know, what we call sport tayim, you know, players that actually, you know, work in the army during the day and play baseball at night. You know, so it's really an exciting point for our organization. A team made up of chilonim, datiim. We had Shabbat together in the hotel. We had, you know, got food from the local restaurant. You know, it's everything that we do on the global level with the professional athletes, we do with the younger kids. And it's a great way to have them grow together.
Well, I think it's worthwhile in general, but that makes it even more worthwhile, frankly, as you know. Everybody this coming Monday night gets an opportunity to see this movie, Israel Swings for Gold, the story of the Israel national baseball team at the Tokyo Olympics. There'll be a panel discussion afterwards, including Dr. Jordy Alter, president of the Israel Association of Baseball, Eric Holtz, the former head coach, Mitch Glasser, Israel national baseball team MVP, and Jeremy Neuberger, the brilliant producer who's responsible for this. They're all going to be together in a panel discussion, all happening Monday night. The screening begins at 7 p.m. up at First Hall. Those familiar with Yeshiva University, it's on West 185th Street up in Washington Heights, and in the same room that panel discussion will happen right after the film. It's free. It's open to the public. You could register at yu.edu/baseball. Again, register for Monday night's event, yu.edu/baseball, and that's how you could reserve a space for Monday night. How are we doing, by the way, on the Israel baseball field front? Is there any progress?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Yes, there's much progress. The field in Beit Shemesh is progressing, you know, really, really quickly. I mean, not as quickly as I'd like it to, but all of a sudden it's starting to take off. With the help of the Mayor Eliza Bloch here, we're starting to put in the electrical system, and the stands are going in, and the clubhouse all in the next 6 months, and hopefully the field will be completed in another year. So that's very, very exciting. We're scheduled to host the European tournament in 2025 here in Israel, with Beit Shemesh being the center, which would be incredible. 16 teams. This is a senior national team, so this is, you know, the biggest tournament in Europe in baseball will be in Israel in 2025.
Do you have any idea what the capacity is going to be in that stadium?
It's really being built as a complex for use with the kids, and, you know, for the ability to expand it when we have tournaments like this, which we'll have on occasion. There'll only be about 500 seats on a permanent basis, and we'll have the ability to expand it as necessary. But we need facilities. We need facilities for the kids to train. We need batting cages, bullpens, you know, places like that, and that's what we're going to be building.
I agree with. I'm just curious, has anybody put a price on the naming rights for that stadium? Because I would imagine that there are certain people in this country who would really, really want, you know, to have their name attached.
It is spoken for.
Oh, it's spoken for already?
Yes.
There's a family that's going to have their name on the stadium. There'll be a Smith Stadium in Israel.
Yes. Not that yes, but there will be, and I will announce it when I'm able to release the information. When I feel like it's the proper time to do it, I will do it on your show.
That's cool.
You will be very, very, you know, the family well, and you will be very, very pleasantly surprised.
All right, that's great, and all I could say is that I have a feeling that you could probably have charged double with the way people want to be associated with baseball stadiums. whatever it is, I'm sure it's a welcome amount that's only going to help the team grow.
Absolutely, and also spread a really great message, because this in particular family has tremendous love for Eretz Yisrael, and to have them as part of this is a huge, huge statement, and it's really something that will, resonate incredibly well, you know, in Israel and also in the States as well.
You made my day. I love when we discover more and more people who are, especially in influential positions, who are into this whole thing. It's just wonderful. Yeah. Jordy, good luck. Have a good trip to New York. Obviously, you'll be traveling to be there on Monday night, and I hope a lot of people come.
I'll see you.
Bezrat Hashem, I'm going to try my best, and I appreciate that.
Okay, good. I can't leave without giving a shout out to my grandkids in Passaic.
How are they doing? Are they doing all right?
They're waiting to go to yeshiva just to hear their names called out. So I must release them. So to Shaya, Shandy, Riva, and Mordechai, have a great day.
Have a great day, guys. You have an amazing grandpa, I can tell you that much. Thanks very much, Jordy. Good luck.
Thanks, Nachum. Really appreciate it.
A pleasure, yes. And I appreciate you. Dr. Jordy Alter is president of the Israel Association of Baseball. Monday night up at Yeshiva University, Israel Swings for Gold. Go to yu.edu/baseball. yu.edu Jordy.com/baseball. More coming up. You're listening to a Wednesday morning edition of America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course, on the beloved NSN app.